Today's reading is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, and verses 19 to 33. That's Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, and then 19 to 33. I am the man who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of God's wrath. He has brought me into deepest darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned against me. Day and night his hand is heavy on me. He has made me old and has broken my bones. He has built forts against me and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He buried me in dark places like those long dead. He has walled me in. I cannot escape. He has fastened me with heavy chains. And though I cry and shout, he will not hear my prayers. He has shut me into a place of high, smooth walls. He has filled my path with detours. Oh, remember the bitterness and suffering you have dealt me. For I can never forget these awful years. Always my soul will live in utter shame. Yet there is one ray of hope. His compassion never ends. It is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh each day. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance. Therefore, I will have hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him, to those who seek for him. It is good both to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a young man to be under discipline, for it causes him to sit apart in silence beneath the Lord's demands, to lie face downward in the dust. Then at last there is hope for him. Let him turn the other cheek to those who strike him and accept their awful insults, for the Lord will not abandon him forever. Although God gives him grief, yet he will show compassion too, according to the greatness of his loving kindness, for he does not enjoy afflicting men and causing sorrow.
Easter greetings to you. Christ is risen. I hear you. Christ is risen indeed. So I am 1 week into this role of interim pastor at Grandview. And I've been given this first assignment of taking you into Lamentations in the season of Easter on a theme of exile, which we are continuing. And I see some of you, Charlie Bueller, reaching for the pause button to stop this video. But I want to say to those of you who are thinking, what? We're only 3 weeks into Easter and already we're in lament. Grandview makes me crazy. And there are some of you who are saying, oh, finally, we're 3 weeks into Easter and we're finally back to lament. So whichever your posture is, I want to assure you that there's room for both and for other postures. As we walk through today's text together. Trouble is that resurrection is hardwired to move between death and life because there is no resurrection apart from death. So, in order to practice resurrection in this Easter season, let's journey with the author of Lamentations. In chapter 3, I want to hit some highlights from his text to give you a picture of how he's processing his experience of exile, I want to invite you to think about the ways in which his experience of exile might be parallel to your experiences of the global pandemic. The author says, God took me by the hand and walked me into pitch black darkness. He locked me up in deep darkness, like a corpse nailed into a coffin. Even when I cry out and plead for help, he locks up my prayers and throws away the key. I wonder if any of you have come to that place in your pandemic grief, where you feel that even your prayers are being forced into lockdown and physically distanced. But the author doesn't leave us there. He moves on to a next step and says, one thing I remember that gives me a grip on hope. And I wonder what you're remembering, what you go to remember to maintain a grip on hope. I really like that imagery because it doesn't speak to the escapism that we often misname as hope. But instead, it has that imagery. If you need a grip on hope, there's probably something heavy that you're carrying as you hold that rope. So I have that image of a person with a heavy burden, the burdens of their current reality, holding tight onto that rope of hope. What is it that gives you a grip on hope? When we bring our burdens into that space of hope, then hope becomes potentially deeply transformative and isn't just some pie in the sky reality that we're hoping for. So what is it that the author of Lamentations finds that gives him this grip on hope? It is this. He says, I remember that God's love is loyal and it certainly couldn't have run out, that God's mercies could not have dried up, that they are created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness, O God. And from that place of declaring how he gets a grip on hope, remembering the character of who God is, then he moves into this encouragement, perhaps to those also in exile around him, that God proves good, is faithful, shows up to the one who passionately waits and the one who diligently seeks. So we don't just hold on to hope and stay where we are. That grip on the rope of hope is pulling us into something else, and it pulls us into seeking God even more. And that brings us back into our journey, our Easter journey, into the company of those disciples that very first Easter season. And I think there are some things from the first Easter that are informative to us that we maybe haven't thought of in the same way in other Easters as we're drawn into in this pandemic Easter. So those disciples, the women who came to the tomb, they came not seeking the risen Christ, because their hope didn't extend that far yet. They came perhaps seeking companionship. They came together. They came to the place that was a symbol of their grief and their loss. They came to the place of profound disorientation, the place where their hope felt like it had come to an end. And they worried about the symbol of that hopelessness, the symbol of the stone that they were afraid would still be a barrier in their process of grief as they came to the tomb. But as they got to the tomb, they discovered that that symbol of their sadness had in fact been disrupted, transformed. That symbol of their sadness was being set upon by an angel who declared, "He is risen. He is not here." Which set those disciples then on this journey with their symbol of their sadness transformed into a symbol of hope, with this tentative grip on hope in the disorientation of what on earth this declaration could mean, that they went then continuing to seek the risen Christ, but unable to recognize him as they encountered him until he shows himself to them. The symbols of death have been transformed into symbols of life. Despair has been transformed into hope, sorrow into joy. And my prayer for you is, as you get a grip on hope, that I look forward to hearing the stories of how you are being surprised by joy as you encounter the risen Christ, who you may not recognize when you first run across him, but who, I assure you, is on the move and is about the place. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.